Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Matt Wolf, VP of Communications for G&O Inc. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. The month of June, I don't know about you, it flew by, and here we are July 1st as we head towards this incredible weekend. A lot of activities and festivities planned around the city, and World Cup soccer tonight to be watched by millions as we see the U.S. team take on Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Yeah, we're definitely rooting for the big win tonight. Let's go, America.
Absolutely. All right, let's jump into this. Matt, a lot of tug-of-war back and forth. Now even a lawsuit over on Decatur Street, folks that have been impacted by, I think, over a year now of street construction. The mayor is made aware of it, and she steps in and proposes a stabilization fund, which is a great approach. I kind of wish she might have been the mayor 9 months ago. I mean, 15 months ago, as opposed to, just now, because maybe we'd have had our eye on this ball.
You could probably add a few more months to that as well. But, kudos to her and her team for really kind of recognize what's going on here. She did step up and put together this business stabilization fund and, push for, this to just really kind of get businesses back in the position to suffer less here. I can tell you I was at the press conference where she announced this, and Michael was involved in that. Beyond that, this probably didn't make the headlines as much, but, she was talking about how, it's imperative that they get those fences down so that people have easier access to the businesses, because for the most part, the major part of the construction is largely over. There's still more work to be done, but it is a flat surface that can be walked on. We were on the street for the press conference, so this is all about this is what she's paid to do, which is balance the needs of the city, which that road did need work and help, but also keeping in mind that the businesses that are along that road are impacted when you completely effectively close off the roadway and make it difficult to get to the sidewalks, etc. So kudos to her for putting together this fund. We were part of advising on that, and another piece that was a part of that is Lieutenant Governor Nungesser unveiled a new ad campaign that's built to bring tourists to the French Quarter specifically and visit those businesses that are impacted.
And I don't mean this as a criticism, but I just hope it's not too little too late, right? It's doing, as you well know, being in business is hard. It's not easy. And when you have these challenges that are outside of your control, it becomes incredibly frustrating. But obviously something had to be done, and hopefully it's going to save some of these folks that have been operating there for years.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a good faith effort to try to make right what clearly we can all agree was wrong.
Yeah, for sure. Big news, Omni clears another hurdle. I think everybody understands and is on board with how important a convention center hotel actually is. So it's good to see that they got past this most recent, or over this most recent hurdle.
Yeah, absolutely. This was one of those things, you're saying everyone understands how important it is. I don't know that everyone does, because, we do already have a lot of hotels in New Orleans and a lot of rooms, but, the reality is that this is an industry that has shifted to events wanting this type of property. And so, a lot of things went into creating what the plan is here. I know that the design team and the architects were push to kind of explain why the footprint is the way that it is and why the height variance was required, and they were able to really reasonably explain that from a structural standpoint, there's a part of the building that you can't put rooms on top of because it's ballrooms, and no one wants to be in a ballroom with support beams in the middle of it, because then that's not really a ballroom. So luckily, you know, we were there last week to help give support to this incredible project that's going to sustain this vital industry for New Orleans, but also be able to bring those big events back here. Super Bowl has already said that it's something that's important to them to bring the next one here. And by the way, this is at a time, we just mentioned the World Cup. We're watching people visit America, fall in love with America, enjoy their time here. It's more reason than ever for us to make sure New Orleans is a part of those conversations.
You know, I'm a little dismayed by the fact that when you say that, you know, a lot of people don't know. I mean, you know, what's interesting to me, not unlike any other inventory, if you're in a clothing business, you can't sell 10-year-old clothing styles, right? I mean, it doesn't sell. And you look to the hotel industry, if you don't have new inventory, a new stock of inventory that's refreshed and moving, and, you know, right now we have a number of major chains, thankfully, that are renovating their rooms and stuff to today's standard. If you don't do that, you're not attractive, right?
I mean, absolutely. No, I mean,
you're just not going to have people.
Something.
You know, it's amazing to me that we can't connect these dots. I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, and look, part of it too is, you know, we're lucky in our position and what we do here at Juno Inc. is, you know, we have friends who work in a lot of different industries who, you know, we hear how they go to their companies and say, oh, we want to bring our conference here, and they go, ooh, you don't have a headquarters hotel or directly across the street from the convention center, and you're like, but what does that matter? It's just, you can go a few blocks, but it's just become imperative because everyone else is doing it. You don't want to not have what everybody else has.
Well, obviously, and it's been tried and tested, and, you know, you have to match or meet the desires of your client, you know, and in that business, as you well know, because y'all work very closely with New Orleans and Company, the convention center, and everybody else in what y'all do, the clients can be, fickle. I mean, you know, their wants, their desires change. Right? I mean, you know,
absolutely.
It used to be maybe 15 years ago, if you didn't have a bathtub in the room, they would yell and scream about it. Now they yell and scream if you do have a bathtub in the room, you know. They want a stand-up shower, you know, unit. So I mean, it's different, and if you don't improve your inventory, I didn't watch the hearing. I heard that it got a little bit sidetracked on a number of different issues, but it's like, oh my God, I mean, we don't really have many choices, you know, in my view, but that's just my opinion.
Right. Look, you've got to stay competitive. Otherwise, we're making the conscious decision to say we don't want to be competitive in this space anymore. And I don't think that that's what anybody's really trying to say. And so this is what you have to do to make sure we're staying relevant.
Yeah, for sure. Big day for UNO today, now known as LSUNO and part of the LSU system. Talk to us about your observations of this transition.
Well, I'll tell you what, I just left the ceremony just now to make sure that I made it here for the call, and the energy in the room was electric. I think there's an incredible amount of enthusiasm about what the future for that university is. You know, with it came, you know, state funding around $20 million to pay down some of the debt and stabilize finances. Visually, you know, the purple and gold is all over the campus already. And, you know, they feel positioned to make sure that the enrollment levels, you know, instead of continuing on the decline, are able to go back on the rise. I think they're targeting around 6,000 students by the fall. There were 5,700 last year.
Yeah. And this is with declining enrollments across the country, right? So you're trying to buck a trend right now.
We are, but, you know, I think what's important about the story here is, you know, this is a local public university in the city, which means while you're right, some enrollment numbers have shifted over the past few years, you know, it makes sense that for people who grew up here, went to school here, that they should be able to access, you know, a really competitive school in their backyard. And I think that, you know, because of some of this restructuring and some of the sharing of resources and the funds, they're going to be allowed to be able to do that in a little bit of a more effective way for students who choose to go there.
Yeah, and my observation was, you know, 300 may not sound a lot, but it actually is because of these challenges and these downward trends. So anytime that you could be on the plus side of this equation, you're a winner.
Exactly.
In today's environment.
If I give you $57 and you gave me $60 back, I'm going to take it, you know? So you're right. Yeah. Something in the positive is a win.
Absolutely. You want to do that? we continue to succeed on many fronts in this all four Navy Research and Operational Commands that signed off on the Gulf Coast Defense Catalyst. Tell us about that. I've not heard much about this program. What's this about and how does this work?
Well, the good news is you didn't know about it because it wasn't here. It's because we just announced it last week. So effectively what this allows to happen is that there are four participating commands around the Gulf Coast that are going to be able to tap into private industry to help innovate, essentially all of, you know, equipment that the Navy uses in their deployment. So, I mean, this can be anything from, you know, drones to marine vessels to communications gear, you name it. It's hard tech that's going to be able to be innovated and tested at a facility on, as we were just saying, the LSUNO campus. It's going to be part of the NIWC facility that's already there. So you already have people who are kind of servicing those features, but what this unlocks is the ability to turn it into a testing and innovation lab, if you will, on site.
So this is kind of a big news then, right? I mean, this could lead to something major.
Absolutely. Look, we're in the middle of this. Technically, the partnership, we're the signer of it, and so we're going to be the catalyst that connects those four Navy units again to the private industry. That can mean anything from startups to well-established corporations. But the bottom line is, rather than the Navy having to sign some, you know, $3 billion contract to try to develop something, they can do these kind of one-off exploratory technological innovation challenges, if you will, to solve specific problems that the Navy encounters in their operations. So, yeah, you're going to see, just as we have seen companies like Saronic the other autonomous one that I can't think of the name of it right now, the autonomous vessel manufacturer in Louisiana, Metal Shark, you're going to see similar innovations happen, again, whether it be drones or marine vessels or communications companies born right here in New Orleans.
And Matt, I guess the impetus for this is they have to get more nimble, right, in their procurement, in their exploration and innovation of what they're doing, because the Chinese are, like, taking off and they're steps ahead of us.
Absolutely. And, you know, without even just naming one particular country, the world is moving so fast right now. Everything just seems to be progressing at lightning speed. And so when you're doing everything, operating as a behemoth that is a little more slow and crawling, everything else is going to pass you by. So by kind of breaking up these little tech hubs, and by the way, we're not the only one in the country that's doing this. We've got a few other markets that this is happening. But we feel as though we're uniquely positioned to be able to take advantage of some of the geographic advantages that are here in New Orleans. Being there on the lake means they're going to have access to water. Having airspace between the university and Lakefront Airport allows for some of that drone testing. So it's things like that make us really an attractive place to do that.
Absolutely. In Jefferson Parish, big announcement the other day, Loop Linen building a new facility.
Absolutely. So, you know, this is a company that's nearly 100 years old. They've been family-owned since 1929. They broke ground on a $16 million, 62,000-square-foot commercial laundry facility. This is in Avondale's Fairfield Business Park. This all happened last week. It's going to double their footprint that exists today. They received a variety of funding. Some of it was private, but then they also did have a grant from Jefferson Parish. They had some funding from LED. You know, this thing's hitting the ground running. They're going to open late next year. So, you know, a little over a year to construct this pretty massive facility and keep this company that's been in Jefferson Parish for a very long time blowing and going and making business happen. Also, it's going to allow them to grow. So they're expecting that they're going to be able to expand to around 200 employees within the next 5 years.
You know, the beauty of this in our tourism industry is that hotels, restaurants, for the most part now are outsourcing linen services, right? It's just more economically feasible for them to do so, and that's where Loop steps in with the new advanced technology opportunity here in the laundry business, as well as hospital. I know they do a lot of hospital work as well. So I know Scott Burt personally. Congratulations to him and the successes that they've had. Let's move to the next topic, Redi Sites, REDI. Talk to us about that and what that actually means.
Yeah. So, you know, in economic development, one of the things that we've really got to push as we're meeting with site selectors and companies, they're called certified sites. And so that's, you can kind of look at them as like shovel-ready locations, but there are a few parameters that each location has to meet in terms of like access to utilities and roadways and things of that nature. Louisiana is now on top for having ready site participation. So we have 8 sites from the state on this national platform. That's more than any other state. Louisiana also maintains 125 active certified sites, which is a little bit less strict than the Ready Sites guidelines. But that state list, that's a program that's only been in place for around 2 decades. And so to have 125 sites like ready to go, that's fantastic. And we're poised to do even more because the state just added around $50 million to the Fast Sites program. That's going to just allow for existing sites to become more shovel-ready and more ready for projects. So that just is going to allow for even more announcements to be coming into Louisiana moving forward.
The what's interesting, too, I mean, I guess this has helped with the economic development that has gone on across the state that has touched so many different parishes. You know, historically, we had these like corridors where a lot of activity was happening. But what's been really exciting in my conversations with not only you, but Michael, has been how many parishes are actually impacted by what's going on right now.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at the Greater New Orleans region, the reality of the situation is more of the parishes that are going to be impacted by this are actually not Jefferson or Orleans. It's not to say that there aren't any certified state sites here, but, you know, it is going to be some of the lesser frequently looked at locations. But that's why it's so important for us to make sure that those are certified sites, because we want them in the catalog. So when people are kind of flipping through, hey, what are my options? You want to look like you're present and that you've got something available. We've had plenty of locations that companies could have moved into along the way, but because they hadn't reached those certification levels, we just weren't on the list. And so you're right, this is going to bring incredible economic impact to parishes that maybe had to wait a long time between impactful announcements.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break. We've been visiting with Matt Wolf, VP of Communications for GNO Inc. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We've been visiting with Matt Wolf, VP of Communications with GNO Inc. And Matt, we have some special guests joining us.
We do. We've got 2 parish councilmen from Plaquemines Parish, Chris Schultz and Ronnie Newsom, and they're going to be here to talk about some incredible projects that are happening just right down the road.
Well, Chris and Ronnie, thank you so much for joining us today. A lot of exciting, really exciting things happening in Plaquemines Parish. I know with Venture Global and Gulfstream LNG. Let's talk about that first and what's the latest on those projects.
Well, thank you, Noel. This is Ronnie. thank you and Matt for inviting us so we can talk about Plaquemines and Plaquemines Port. So Venture Global, I don't know when's the last time, it's an unbelievable project going on down there. It's at the time when it first started, it was the largest construction project I heard in the world. Now, I hadn't been traveling the world, so I don't know, but it was a huge project. We call it phase one and two. We call it Inside the Wall. It was about a $20 billion project that went on, and they are in plans. Permitting is going on for actually a phase three, so which was announced. I know we had some of the legislative, Donald Trump's Secretary of Energy came down and announced a phase three expansion of another $20 billion project. So a lot of good things going on down there, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, wasn't it one of the largest projects in the history of the state of Louisiana, something like that?
It's the largest privately financed project in the history of the world.
Right there in Plaquemines. And then Gulfstream LNG, I'm not as familiar with this project. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, this is Chris. It's a smaller project, but and it's not on any port or parish property, but it is a private investment property coming. It's a smaller LNG, and we're just looking to expand our footprint in the port district, LNG, and bring projects to Plaquemines in the area.
Yeah. What stage of that project do we find ourselves in at the present time?
They're still going through their FERC permitting process and everything, but we've met with the owner of the company two or three times. They had a town hall a couple months ago where we talked to them again, and they're just moving forward through the FERC permitting process.
Yeah. Back to Venture Global for a moment, if you don't mind, guys. I believe they started on phase two. Where are they with phase two?
So, yeah, no. Phase one and two is, what we call Inside the Wall. They are just about finished those projects. You know, they're wrapping up. I think they should definitely be finished by the end of the year with phase one and phase two. And that's when, phase three will start. They're going to put another wall around it and start with that project. So they should be wrapping up phase one and phase two by the end of the year.
So in the end, total commitment, Matt, do we know what that is? Or guys, do we know, what that total commitment is by Venture Global? I mean, it's got to be approaching $50 billion before it's all said and done.
It's a big number. I'm going to have to add it up because it was announced in phases. You know, it's like 18 here, 20 there. So let me get the abacus out, and we'll get the answer shortly.
Yeah, and the next phase also was originally supposed to be about $18 billion, but they keep coming back and talking about adding more. So at this point, I think it's over 20 total. But it, like you said, it's probably closer to 50 between all the phases at this point.
Ronnie, Chris, you guys have been down there for a long time. Did you ever think that Plaquemines would have the largest privately developed project in the world happen in Plaquemines Parish?
I'm a little bit older than Chris, and I'm one of the old fellas. So no, I agree with it's like I said. I know the folks passing through Plaquemines going down to the southern end of Parish and doing the fishing and stuff like that. Everybody calls and how they amazed at the extent of the project. You know, it's both sides of Highway 23. They got a dock that just this week they had three ships there loading LNG. And where they're going, I don't know where it's going. I'm sure it's going overseas or something, but they're loading three ships, so not every day they don't load that, but there's a lot of activity there.
Guys, tax consequences for the parish. Obviously, it has to help with the revenue when you talk about the employment and everything else. I mean, y'all got to feel pretty good about that, right?
Yeah. So when it comes to the property taxes, they did get ITEP when they started. But the sales tax that's brought in over the last since 2021. For the parish alone, which we only have a 1 cent sales tax, brought in $100 million. We have a fire department, 1 cent sales tax, brought in $100 million, and the school board has 2.5, so we estimate they brought in $250 million since probably 2020, 2021 range.
Wow.
And also, Newell, just...
Well, that helped.
Yeah. Those sales tax also, the state gets a portion of that. They're probably, their stuff was probably in the $400 million range. It went straight to the coffers of the state. So it was a huge, it's a huge win-win for a lot of different agencies.
Well, and that helps with, you know, maintaining and doing new infrastructure, which has always been a challenge for even well-funded parishes to continue that forward. And I know that Plaquemines had a desire. In fact, right now, y'all are doing work on Peters Road, I believe. So talk to us about that work and where y'all are on that project.
So, yeah, that's been a project on the books for decades. I mean, I'm almost 40. I can remember as a teenager kid growing up, it's been on the books and got paused. The port got a grant to basically re-engineer the Peters Road Bridge down to the same height as the Belchase Bridge. And we're moving forward. Our state rep, state senator, has been pushing that bridge because that will alleviate some of the traffic and a lot of other infrastructure projects that the port's taken on, water booster station, double feed lines, stuff like that, all basically with revenue brought in through Venture Global and stuff like that. And we're doing water tower repairs for the parish with some money that was brought in. So it's just a whole bunch of infrastructure projects going on throughout Plaquemines, both parish and port side.
Absolutely. You know, you guys have had some extraordinary expenditures with saltwater intrusion, so many different things that, you know, myself growing up, I fished in Plaquemines down in Burris forever and a day, you know, and a lot of new challenges there. I mean, it really highlights the importance of economic development and creating new tax revenue streams, because you're not able to fund and finance these improvements without it. And y'all are like, right now, y'all are the poster child for this, quite frankly. And the same thing along the lines with the port. I mean, you know, for a long, long time, the port was almost I don't mean this in a critical way, but like a dormant entity, you know, and now it's taken on a whole new flavor, right?
Yeah, so on the parish side, we have an economic development director that she's always out working her tail off, trying to bring projects here. But on the port side, we like you said, we kind of operate in a bubble. We're trying to change that, work with other ports, Port Nola, Port South Louisiana, St. Bernard, just different LED, just different agencies to work together as a port, as a parish, as a region, GNO Inc., as a state, all that together, just kind of work together and change the perception of Plaquemines Parish.
Yeah. How big is the port facility now? I mean, it's pretty big from what I recall.
Our port district, you know, runs from the, we call it the head of the passes all the way up through Plaquemines, which I want to say, don't quote me, I don't know, it's probably 80 miles with the port district in the Mississippi River, you know, and this just back to the river, you know, we are, as, you know, we talk about partnering with all these folks and listening and working together, you know, and to develop the port system in Louisiana forever. And look, I'm going to give a credit to someone, but we need to work together with the port system, with all the five, you know, what calls the five deep water ports down and we've got together, and I'll give the credit to Mr. Joe Toomey. He's really done some work getting all these, and you know, Newell, when
has.
You get agencies together to talk and communicate and work together, that's a hard job to do. So hats off to Joe, because he's been doing that, and we've been meeting and talking, and look, we got to get to the point with all the ports to where we can work together, because right now we're getting our butts kicked by these other areas, and Louisiana's losing out, and we really need to move that forward and try to get to where we work together and do things where we all, how do you say, we all rowing a boat the same, with the same, pulling a rope with together. It makes Louisiana better.
You know, I talked to Joe the other day, guys, and he was so proud of, you know, you guys, the port, and all the port directors kind of putting everything aside and coming together. And of all the things that Joe Toomey's accomplished in his life, I really believe that, you know, what he's done here, you know, he never takes the credit for himself. He's always sharing it. He's just a humble man. You know that. He's a true gentleman in so many different ways. But he absolutely, I've never seen someone just so excited about the ports coming together and what he envisions about the gains that can be made by this. It's just really exciting to see, to hear him talk about it. And it's really heartwarming for folks like myself that have been around a long time to see the ports come together and think about the greater good instead of the individual, right? And I think there's going to be a huge payoff for everybody in the growth of these port facilities, especially the deep water ports in southeast Louisiana.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, perfect example of what Joe has accomplished is, I mean, look at Hyundai Steel up in Port South Louisiana, Baton Rouge. It was joint partnership based on the land, who could do what. And, I mean, look at what that's doing for that region and the state. So, I mean, with us working together with St. Bernard, Port Nola, I mean, I think we can accomplish a lot of things.
No, absolutely. Guys, I know there's been a lot of talk. This is something not as positive as the topics that we've been talking about, the Belchase Bridge. Where are we on that? And did I hear the other day that some of the on-ramp, off-ramp is still sinking? Is that true?
So, based on what I know right now, the latest is, I mean, we have a couple lawsuits and nothing. I mean, those are going through the courts. As for the ramps, they're still sinking some. I don't know to what extent, but they're outside DOTD's variances and stuff like that. So they're working on that. I don't know exactly the details with that, but yes, they are still working on that some. And like I said, with the lawsuits and everything, I think the tolls are on pause indefinitely.
Yeah, the governor has suspended all tolls. So.
And what are y'all hearing? I mean, is that something I'm sure y'all would like for that to be permanent, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, we would like that to be permanent, but you never know with the legal system what's going to happen. I think there's three different lawsuits out there.
Yes.
One by the government, one and one class action, or maybe two class actions. So, I mean, you never know with the legal system.
Yeah. Guys, we're obviously in the midst of hurricane season, what's the state of the state for you guys? I know y'all do a lot of tabletop stuff and talking and looking at levee systems. General
huge,
sense.
You know, Plaquemines Parish, we're surrounded by, well, I think we got the most levees in the whole state, so we got a lot of levees here. We have, through the parish side, we have definitely have table talks with our emergency response, Mr. Patrick Harvey, through the president's office, President Hinckley. Regular conversations about that. You know, we talk and we're developing. We have levees. We are checking levees weekly to make sure they're in good shape, and they are. You know, we have the NOV project. That's the New Orleans to Venice levee system, which is ongoing. It's not complete, but it's still ongoing through our coastal directors handles all of that stuff. So we feel we're in very good shape, better shape than probably we ever been with levees and Plaquemines. But we're doing good.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us about these incredibly exciting projects going on in Plaquemines Parish. Congratulations to all of y'all. I know it's a lot of hard work to make all of this happen, and there's even more to come, and we're excited about that as well. So congratulations to all of y'all.
Again, thank you, Newell, and I would like to thank Matt also for inviting us and we're telling our story. Anytime, reach out, and we'll be happy to come on it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the time and the insight. We'll be right back, folks, with Matt Wolf, VP of Communications with G&O Inc. When we return, stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Matt Wolf, VP of Communications, G&O Inc. You know, Matt, when you hear the numbers that are being created by the taxes, the sales, just sales taxes alone in Plaquemines, you gain a better understanding of the importance of these projects, what it means to be able to create these dollars, to reinvest in their parish and infrastructure, and it looks like that's exactly what Plaquemines is doing.
Absolutely. I mean, to your point, you know, it's that business activity that drives, as you just said, the tax revenues that allow a community to sustain itself and provide the services that its residents really depend on. So that's why it's been so important, especially over the last 4 or 5 years, to make sure that we're really increasing the number of those big projects that bring big impacts to communities around the state.
Let's talk about two other things that we have on our list to talk about. Nunez Community College landing a $4 million in state funding to grow its aerospace and other programs. That's a big thing because there's a lot of stuff moving, and that whole Mishu facility seems to have a lot of momentum right now.
Yeah, this is awesome because, you know, as proud as we are for everything that happens at Mishu, there's a lot of work that goes into making sure that they're able to be successful in constructing these Artemis missions and beyond. And it really starts with the training. And Nunez has a track record of doing this right. NASA loves working with them. They've cranked out around 300 students that have gone on to Mishu since 2018. So this funding allows them to take what they do well and do even more of it. So you're right, it's about $4 million. $3 million of it's going to go to their aerospace, welding, and advanced manufacturing programs, and about $1 million is going to go to, like, overall campus operations. This is just a big deal because Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Blue Origin, Vivace, all these huge aerospace employers that are building these critical space missions, they need people who can actually build the rockets.
Yeah. And our final topic, let's pivot real quick. This is big because as we watch in the news, vehicles on the what is called the AOA, where the airplanes are on airport property, running into airplanes, getting in the way of airplanes, a new system being installed in only the third airport in the country to have it. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so there's this new device called the Surface Movement Radar System that, as you just mentioned, MSY is going to be the third airport in the country to receive this upgrade. It sits on top of a control tower, and as you just mentioned, it tracks the vehicles and the aircraft that are on runways and taxiways, and it alerts air traffic controllers of potential ground collisions before they happen. This is a big investment that the country is making at other airports. It's about $12.5 billion they're spending around the nation. But to be third in line, that's great, and it just speaks to the incredible growth that's happening at the airport today. It's going to make it safer and better to travel out of MSY than it's ever been before.
And the airport continues to just win accolades month after month after month, and congratulations to those folks out there as well. So it's exciting to hear about that. And there's no doubt they need more parking. That garage they have over there is booked almost every day. I don't care what day of the week you go out there, it's booked.
Well, I'm going to tell you two things. One, the reservation system works like a champ. I use it every time that I go in and out of the airport, and it's incredible. But more importantly, as they just unveiled, their expansion plans include a new garage.
There you go. Awesome. Matt Wolf, as always, truly appreciate your time, your insight. Thank you so much for joining us. A lot of great things happening. Keep up the great work. Y'all's partnership with so many different projects and endeavors is huge. And, we'll be talking and visiting with Mike Fitz, the president of Tulane University, in the 12 o'clock hour. This project here is so vitally important to the growth in our city, right?
Yes, 5 stars all around for that project.
No, no doubt about it. Thank you so much. Have a great 4th of July weekend.
All right. Take care.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. WWL has tickets to New Orleans Beatles Fest, and we want you to be there. Listen to Scoop between 1 and 4 p.m. every day this week when he plays the Beatles Song of the Day. Go to WWL.com/contest and register to win a family four-pack. And remember, you need to know the song that Scoop played to enter. Win tickets to Beatles Fest Saturday, July 11th at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center, and good luck from WWL. All right, folks, after we return from the top of the hour news break, we will visit with Mike Fitz, the president of Tulane University. Tulane is set to take ownership and lead the $500 million transformation of the former Charity Hospital into a world-class hub for medical research, innovation, education, and economic growth. This is an incredibly exciting project. Can't wait to hear from Mike Fitz. We'll be right back. Stay with us.